Welcome to Honest Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Sally Williams, and I am so happy that you are here today and that we're going to start this brand new podcasting series about my book entitled Parental Survival Guide for Anyone. Parental Survival Guide for Anyone. This is a book that I started last year in 2015, and I am excited because this is the very first podcast that I've done concerning the book since its release in September. Parents, I have a question for you. When was the last time you can think of that you had a day to yourself, or just maybe an hour to yourself, to do whatever it is you wanted to do? If that question sounds like a dream rather than reality, then this is the podcast for you. I realize that parenting is one of the most rewarding jobs that there is. I'm a parent and a grandparent now, and I definitely remember how beautiful it was to go through each stage of my children's lives. But at the same time, it is also a very challenging job. And sometimes we forget that. Regardless of whether your baby just came home from the hospital and you're a brand new parent, or you're a seasoned parent and your child is a teenager, or in my case, your children are grown and gone, and you call them once a week to kind of figure out how things are going and how the grandchildren are doing. At any rate, as a parent, you don't usually forget the responsibilities of parenting. And regardless of whether your child is 0 years old or 40 years old, you're still a parent. And in some way, you may still parent your children, even though they're grown. Well, today I'm going to talk about some of the challenges that I know that many parents face and would like to give you some tips as to what you can do straight from the book. It's been a while since I've had little ones, but I do remember bundling up my children when they were small, getting on the bus in cold weather, walking to the babysitter's house, dropping them off, getting back on the bus, taking the bus downtown to Cleveland to my job, working all day, getting back on the bus, going to get the children, and reversing that process all the way up until 6:30 in the evening, getting home. Then my job was not done at that time. I was married, and I was still making sure that everything was taken care of. So the purpose of this podcast is to kind of give you a couple tips that I've used that have helped me to gain back a couple of hours of my own time, as well as manage my time a lot more easily and readily. No, you may not have 2 hours to soak in the bathtub and do your nails every day. You may have 3 children that you have to get out of the house that have extracurricular activities. You have your job, or you have responsibilities to the community and your church or whatever. Those things are all important, and you don't necessarily have 24 hours to carve out to get everything done. But if you manage your time wisely, if you learn how to take those same 24 hours and manage them in a way that you get something for yourself, then that can be better than nothing. And that is what I will help you strive for. Now, what I want you to think about as we start going through this process of finding more time for yourself is I want you to really analyze your day, analyze what it is you do. From the time you wake up in the morning until the time you go to bed at night, how is your day situated? Do you get up in the morning first thing, run to get coffee, or run to the kitchen and try to get things prepared for the children to go? Or are you up at the last minute trying to make sure that they have everything taken care of and there's no time to eat a good breakfast and everybody's out of the door in the car and down the street before anyone says hello or has time to even talk to each other? That's not good. What you want to do is make sure that on most days you have some time carved out for yourself and you don't feel guilty about taking that time. Yes, I said feel guilty about taking that time. You know, the reason why many parents don't have a lot of time is because they feel guilty about taking it. They may have an extra 5-10 minutes or a half an hour to do something on their own that they want to do for themselves, but they always feel as though, I should be doing this, I should be doing that for the kids, or maybe I don't need this time to do something for myself. If you're feeling guilty about taking some time for yourself, then that is a problem for sure. And so what you need to do is to find out how you can change that thought pattern about time management. I think many people have the misconception that time management should only be done from a place of placing things on a calendar and following that regimen all day. That should not be the way that your time management should be identified. And let me share with you the reason why. Time management should be done from a place of value to you. Your time is valuable every day. But if all you're doing is placing items on a calendar in order to get them accomplished, and there's nothing that's valuable to you in there, then guess what? You're going to get tired pretty quickly. Years ago, when I taught time management in corporate America, one of the very first questions I asked the audience as an icebreaker was this. If you had 1 hour extra every day to do anything you wanted to do besides sleep, what is it you would do? What is interesting, every class that I taught, no one ever said, I want to spend an hour extra doing work. What they did say were things like, spend extra time with my family, go hiking, do some type of hobby, or something that added value to their lives. There are four value activity components I will discuss. One is spiritual, one is physical, one is mental, and the other is emotional. All of those should be included as part of your time management. You should make sure that you have activities that cover those four components. For example, for spiritual, you may want to have something that deals with you personally praying or meditating. Physical could be your yoga, running, doing Pilates or walking. Mental, reading a good book, self-help, spiritual book. Or number four, which is emotional, and that is going to the movies or having some sporting events you attend with friends. You say, okay, Dr. Sally, that sounds very, very good, but I don't have the time to breathe, let alone do any of those types of things. Hold on. Yes, you do, and I'm going to show you how. But first and foremost, we must look at your day, how you're spending your day. What are you spending your time on from the time you get up until the time you go to bed at night? You may say, I don't know. I get up and I just start doing everything and running out the house. And by the time I look up, it's already 8 o'clock. Well, in order to change your behavior, you have to understand exactly what it is you're doing. Let's start by analyzing your day. When you get up in the morning, what is the first thing you do when your feet hit the floor? I'd like you to sit down, get a piece of paper, start writing it out. I get up, I take a shower, I do this. Just kind of list what you do. Don't put any times to it yet. Just list it. What it is you do from the time you get up in the morning until the time you go to bed. Most days, okay? We know each day may be different, but most days, how do you spend your day? The next thing I'd like you to do is add some times to that. 10 minutes to doing the shower, 10 minutes getting breakfast together, 5 minutes getting to work. Just jot down the time it takes to accomplish each one of the things you do each day. Now analyze it. Look at it very, very carefully. How much time are you spending on each one of the tasks? Now I'd like you to get a different piece of paper, or you can just turn over the one you have. And I want you to write down four words. The first word is spiritual. Underneath that, put physical. Underneath that, put mental. And underneath that, put emotional. Each one of these words represent what I call value activities. Value activities. For example, for spiritual, prayer and meditation, do you do that every day? What would it benefit you if you had the time to carve out and do some nurturing spiritually for yourself? How much do you think that your day and your whole atmosphere would be calmer if you had the opportunity to just spend a few minutes doing some prayer work or some meditation or some self-reflection? The next thing I want you to think about is your physical body. You know, we were made to move, 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 not sit down in a chair in a cubicle all day, but to move. How are you moving your body? Are you out of shape? Do you need to exercise? Do you have time to exercise? What would be the benefit if you took some time to do that? Now let's talk about mental. What are you doing to sharpen your skills and your competencies to get to the next level within your organization or in school or your own personal goals as an entrepreneur? How are you sharpening your skills for maximum mental capacity? And the last thing I want you to think about is emotional. What is your emotional health like? Are you connecting with others, friends, and family? Do you have the time to do that? Do you think it's important? Well, all of these things are very, very important, as a matter of fact. And you need to make sure that when you are scheduling time on your calendar, that value activities that are associated with these four components have to be added to your calendar every day. Yes, every day. So, well, Dr. Sally, I don't have time to exercise. Yes, you do. And let me share with you how. Physical exercise doesn't necessarily have to mean that you are out there running a mile marathon. Or for lunch, instead of sitting down in your chair and eating at your desk, getting up, putting your tennis shoes on, if you have any at work, and just walking around the building, that is a form of exercise. You see, what I'm saying is having the same 24 hours, but using them in a way that's going to be very, very beneficial to you. So let's start off with the morning. If you're getting up in the morning and the very first thing you're doing when you're hitting the floor is running and getting cleaned up, getting a shower, doing all these things, and then your kids, you got to get the kids up and all this. What about getting up an hour early? Have you ever thought about taking the time to get up an hour early? I can barely get up now. No, if you train your body to get up an hour early, what could you do in that hour that could be beneficial to you and you only? You could have time for prayer and meditation, maybe 15 minutes of that first. Then you could have time to get your exercise in, 15 minutes of that, which means you could stretch and take some time to move your head around or move your body around or do some squats or whatever. Depending on your commute, you could use that time in your car to listen to CDs that are inspirational or self-help, and use your car as a classroom. The same thing if you're taking public transportation. Instead of listening just to music, why not listen to something that's going to stimulate those brain cells mentally and emotionally? That's 1 hour. 1 hour earlier, try it. So let's say, for instance, in the morning you get up and you take a shower and you brush your teeth and you get yourself ready with makeup and all of that. And then you get your children up. How about, instead of you taking your shower in the morning, you take your shower at night? How much time would that save you? Again, if you decided to get up 1 extra hour early, how much could you get done in an hour before the kids got up? How about writing that out? So, you know, if I had an extra hour in the morning, I could do 5 things that I'm not able to do at all. Imagine that, 5 things. Or even if it's just 1 thing and it's just for you, that's a great benefit. You find that instead of doing everything around your family, taking that 1 extra hour just for you, it would make your family feel so much better, and you probably would have more patience with your family if you had that time to rest and unfold your day a little differently. So when you're thinking about just having an extra hour early, an extra hour during the day, what value activities could you put in that hour that would help you feel more benefit in your day? So let's say, for instance, you decided to get up at 5 o'clock instead of 6 in the morning. What value activity could you put in there that would be so good for you? Again, an example, 10 minutes of stretching, 10 minutes of reading spiritual or self-help material, 10 minutes of getting something nourishing in your body besides a cup of coffee, 10 minutes of just being grateful and having prayer or meditation in your day. Isn't that 1 hour worth it? Try it. I'm sure that once your body gets used to it, you may not ever want to go back. Another way that you can identify how you're spending your time is to look at your day and see, where are there pockets where you are spending a lot of time doing everything in an urgent manner? Let's say you work in corporate America and your day is filled with all types of meetings. Analyze those meetings. Do you have to attend all of them? Can you send someone to attend for you? Is it necessary for you to attend every meeting that's on the calendar? Even if you are the boss, is it necessary? Analyze that. What about your activities that you have at your desk? Is everything in order? Do you have piles of this and piles of that? How about putting together a filing system where you can identify those things that are important, those things that are not urgent, and those things that you can wait on? What about time wasters? How much time do you spend on the internet just playing games or looking around at different websites or shopping when you should be doing work? How much time do you spend wasting your time? Not saying that those types of things are not important to do in convenient times, but what are you doing that you could stop doing and give you more time? What about people that are coming to your desk and just talking at the water cooler? Do you have time for that? Can you carve out some time where you actually are doing the work you need to do and concentrate on the projects you need to concentrate on, and then spending time with your friends around the water cooler when it's appropriate? What about lunchtime? How do you spend your lunch? Do you sit at your desk and eat your food at your desk rather than get up and walk to your car and have lunch at the park or have lunch away from your desk? I have too much work to do, you may say. It can wait. The law says you have at least 30 minutes that you can break to have lunch. Take those 30 minutes or an hour. Don't sit at your desk and eat your food. Get up, go away from your desk, even out of the building if it's not too horrifyingly freezing, and take a walk. Take 30 minutes, eat your lunch, and the other 15, take a nap if you can, or just relax in your car. The point is looking at opportunities that you have not looked at before because you've been busy. Taking the opportunity to really analyze your time, analyze your calendar, and understand that value-added activities are of most importance to add to your calendar. In the book, I talk about time management scores. And then I ask you to look at your time and identify four different things, four different categories, so far as how you're spending your time. Is everything urgent and emergency, that everything you do during the daytime it has to be done right away? Or do you have things that are important? They're not necessarily activities that have to be done at this moment, but they are important that they have to be done today. Have you identified those? And then what about not important? Those are activities that could be done tomorrow or next week, but you know they have to be done and they're in your mind to get done, but they're not urgent. And then there's those time wasters, things that you know you really shouldn't be doing at all. They don't have any value at all. They're just laying on your desk. Organize your desk. Make sure that when you have your desk, the things that you need to do immediately are in front of you. Organize it in a way that is most beneficial to you getting things done. Get rid of clutter around your desk, on top of your desk. Put things away. Don't have anything on your desk that you're not working on right now. Take and put everything away, and the only thing that you should have on your desk are projects that you're currently working on. First of all, it alleviates the clutter. It makes your brain feel better because you're looking at a desk that's clean, and it gets you organized. These are just a couple of tips that I've found work very good for me. I hope you can utilize these tips as well. Remember, I shared with you before that in order to change your behavior, you have to be consistent in how you go about changing it. You have to be strategic in how you think about it. You have to write it down, plan it out, and make sure that you do it on a daily basis for about 21 days. On my website, I have the Behavioral Change Smarter Goals Strategy Form. It's a free form that you can download, and it will help you strategize how you're going to accomplish changing your time management behaviors. Thank you for joining me today for the podcast. I hope you do try getting up that extra hour early. For those of you that are interested in the Parental Survival Guide for Anyone book, you can go to my website, and that is drsally.com, and that's dr-sally.com, and go to my resources pages, and there you will see information regarding the book. There's also another book there, as well as podcast available for you to listen to. Just explore the entire website. I do hope that whatever I do will be beneficial to you, because that is my plan, to give you information and resources that you can use to help you in your life to become a lot better at what you do already. Well, it's been a pleasure, and I've had a great time talking to you today. Until the next time, may God bless you and your family. Bye-bye now.